The strangest dream. I was in Congress. Not Congress as I understand it. I wasn't asking for money. I was arguing for something. It was something about the way things should be and the future. I'm not really sure. I know dreams are boring, but that one was especially boring. The weird thing is, usually I'm not even in my dreams. I'm just watching other people do something mundane, like making breakfast. And it's not even a good breakfast, it's like cereal. I'm not sure what it means. It might have something to do with my situation here. I've been involved with a few discussions since I joined the underground. I'll tell you how that's going a little later. First, I want to tell you a little bit about a couple of the people I've met here. Then I'll have an interview with the pair. That's my former neighbor. He's got an interesting theory about the Whisperers. Well, where I live now, one of our leaders, or facilitators, is named Greg. He's okay. Interesting thing about him, he used to be a blogger. That is, he used to write a certain amount of words every day and put those words on the internet, sometimes with pictures. This was a very popular pastime before the calamities. The incredible thing is that he's kept it up. When I first went to his place, I thought he was a schizophrenic. He was writing on the walls. His walls are almost entirely covered in words. I say almost because he's also pasted up some pictures and stickers. He's been blogging on his walls. He used to do it on paper until the paper shortage. As I said, I thought he was schizophrenic, so I was very excited to read what he put on the walls. But it turns out it was all about the phenomenon of scratch and sniff. This all may be confusing, and I don't know what to explain first. I'll explain why that makes sense. Since everybody was writing a certain number of words and putting them on the internet, there had to be a way to make your words stand out from all the others. The main way was to make your words about one very specific thing, and to never deviate from that. It always sounded insane to me. If you were speaking words, like at a party, you wouldn't want to be the person who only says words about, like, tropical fish. It seems like that would make people avoid you. It would make me avoid you, unless I overheard you talking about something interesting, like immortal jellyfish. I'll never stop thinking about those. They were jellyfish that reproduced and then went back to an adolescent stage. And they did that over and over and over and over again. Forever. I always thought there might have been one born during my lifetime who would still be alive when the sun exploded. Of course, they're all gone now. Unless there's some life under the membrane. Or unless the membrane is just in the Pacific. Anyhow, blogging. So you would write words every day about fish, but only about fish. Unless maybe there was some kind of mollusk that ate the fish you were writing about, and eventually you would come to be recognized as the person to read when it comes to fish. Greg didn't write about fish, but I used that as an example because that makes more sense than what he did write about. He wrote about scratch and sniff, which, looking back on it, was a strange phenomenon. it was mostly stickers. Little pictures with glue on the back, and when you scratch them, they smelled like whatever was on the picture. It could be flowers, it could be peanuts. It wasn't just stickers, though. I remember when I was in elementary school, the girls used to have scratch and sniff erasers. The pink ones smelled like bubble gum, the yellow ones smelled like bananas, and the purple ones smelled like grape-flavored candy, which is not the same thing as smelling like grapes. I used to love smelling their erasers. I guess Greg's wall blog took me back there for a few seconds. And that's how long I read it. After I told him what it reminded me of, there wasn't much to say. He had some actual scratch and sniff stickers on the wall. When I went to scratch one, he said, "Please don't." Told me that he still puts together 500 words each day for it. He says the discipline is important, and it might be. He also says that he gets about 6 visitors a day. He doesn't allow them to leave comments because space is limited to his walls. Comments on the internet were a way for readers to respond to what they read in a blog by writing out their theories about racial differences or saying who was like Hitler or occasionally who was like Stalin, never who was like Mussolini or Tojo. Well, that's blogging in today's paperless world. I guess it was always paperless, but that was for a different reason. When I'm not in a meeting or trying to get the hang of farming, I put in time as a caregiver. Here we all divide the duties of caring for children and the elderly. That's fine. In fact, some of the kids have been asking me questions about the old world, and I enjoy answering them. Maybe I'll share some of those in the future. The kid I noticed most is called Jerick. Jerick is kind of a handful. He doesn't have a face. I don't know if you've seen this particular transformation. It's kind of uncanny. He doesn't look misshapen. He has the flat surface at the front of his head where a face would go. Well, yeah, look, just start drawing a face. Now leave off the nose and the eyes, and you've got it. He has what you might call a mouth, but he can't talk out of it. I guess he eats and breathes through it since he doesn't have the nose. He has no ears either. Despite missing all those sensory organs, he seems to have all 5 senses. The other kids talk to him, and he seems to understand and responds in sign language, which they understand. I remember the first time, a few minutes after the kids came in, I was sitting with my mouth agape, wondering how to start. Jerick seemed to notice, and he made a series of signs at the other kids. I didn't know they were signs. The other kids all started laughing. I said, "That's not funny." I thought they were laughing at this poor faceless boy flailing in front of them. He made some more sounds, and they laughed louder. Finally, I realized I might be missing something, so I said, "What's funny?" One of the boys explained that Jerick had signed to them that the top of my head looks like his face, and that he had added, "But maybe one day he'll have hair on his face." So, that's the same. Bald jokes persist, even in a world of faceless children. This is the world's last podcast. Be brave, stay focused. Let's talk about the Whisperers. You're telling me you had a theory about the Whisperers?
Yeah. I guess I can tell I can have a theory for it.
What?
I guess you could call it like that. I guess you could call it a theory. It involves quantum mechanics.
What's quantum mechanics?
Well,
it's like very, very small mechanics. Where what?
No. Quantum mechanics has to do with... But if you start thinking of energies in packages, if it's quantized in packages, it depends on physics. That has very, very, very non-intuitive consequences. For instance, things are no more located in one place, they can be located to in this random used to have a probability of them in two places at the same time.
Okay. What does this have to do with the Whisperers?
Well, I think it has to do with the nanotech they put in the cans.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nanobins 10 elevated to -9. Which means it's just like a million times smaller than a centimeter. It means that in those levels, the quantum mechanics is where it works. When you use that in physics, when you go to big distances, big velocities, classical doesn't work. You have to study relativity theory. Anyway, you go deep inside.
Yes.
Step inside of molecules and it's small things, you have to use quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanics could be present in those nanotechs, in those small robotic effects.
So you're saying it's a quantum effect?
Yeah.
So what are they doing?
Well, I guess they could exchange information from one another based on quantum entanglement of their nanotech.
That was an interesting theory. I still don't think we're speaking the same language. This time he's speaking physics instead of English. What I understood was I didn't understand it. But it's an interesting theory. It's too bad we have no way to test it and no way to apply it practically. Now let's take a look at life in the underground. This community describes itself, or it would like to be described, as an experiment in radical democracy. That means there are meetings for everything. I'm not great in meetings. I spent most of my working life trying to get out of meetings. And work was not a radical democracy. Work meetings were people telling you how work was going to be, and then everyone else pretending to reach a consensus about how it was going to be that matched whatever the boss said. The meetings here are about making actual decisions as a group. At first, my input was welcomed. I'm new here. They thought I might have new ideas. I did have new ideas, and I was labeled counterintuitive. That's just about the worst thing that you can call someone from my generation. We used to be saturated with counterintuitive nonsense, and all it did was make life more confusing and prolong arguments that should have been settled. It was based on the idea that since science, like quantum mechanics, sometimes reaches conclusions that are counterintuitive, then truth should always sound counterintuitive. It was always a dumb idea. I don't think science is counterintuitive. The Earth goes around the sun. That doesn't go against any of my intuitions. Just based on looking at it, I wouldn't have guessed that the sun goes around the Earth. I would have guessed that the sun is a bright little ball that bounces from one end of the sky to the other. That's ridiculous, but that's what it looks like to me. Anyway, once I heard that the Earth was rotating, and that's what accounted for the sun rising and setting, that made perfect sense to me. I mean, I guess when it comes to science, I don't have intuitions either way. In any event, I was called counterintuitive because I don't agree with their theory about the authority. I just don't see them as a puppet being used by the Whisperers. As I explained, the Whisperers have no need for a puppet. We could all be their puppets. But that's not counterintuitive. That's contrarian. Although both of those are annoying, I'd prefer to be labeled accurately. That'll have to do it for this week. Jarek and some of the other kids are on their way over. I'll be back with more of this next week. Thanks.